Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we unpack the book of James. It's a personal, powerful, and yet practical book. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to yet another conversation, time in the Word of God. Just little 15-minute snippets every day to delve into portions of the Word of God to help us grow. I say 15-minute snippets. Brian, last couple days.
Yeah, we got windy.
We got a little
Kurt,
windy.
Yeah, it just happens when two preachers get together and start talking about the Word.
So my listeners, if you cut out like 2 minutes early yesterday, I totally understand. I do. And we are going to do our dead level best today to keep this under 15. Don't want to make you late for work or whatever you're doing. But hey, listen, honestly, whatever you're doing, thanks for suspending it for a moment and investing this time with us. It really does mean the world to me. I know I speak for Brian when I say
We're
in James chapter 3. I feel beat up already, don't you, Brian?
Yeah. Yeah, that chapter 3 is a tough one. I mean, that's some of the strongest language about practical Christian living in the entire Bible. It's just that real.
I love the fact, though, that when God highlights a problem in his word, he never does so for the sole purpose of causing guilt or even condemnation, but there's always he's always oriented toward a solution.
Yeah, God's a redeemer, so all the wrongs in our lives, he's righting them, and ultimately in the redemption of everything. But that's how God is with us, thankfully, because without him, we would have no redemption or solution or resolve.
But he, in that redemption process, he's not going to Band-Aid. He's not going to gloss over. If surgery is required, then surgery is what we're going to get. And in chapter 3, we can Band-Aid our words and try to do a better job keeping our mouths shut or doing a more evasive job in the way that we do our gossiping. Or whisper a little bit more softly, but those aren't answers.
No, they're patches.
The answer deals with surgery, and the surgery goes right down to the heart level. So in James chapter 3, I think we ended a last episode talking about the issue is in the heart. If you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not. Lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above. It's earthly, it's sensual, is devilish. For where envying and strife is, and the Bible just told us where it is, in the heart.
Right.
For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. So where do evil works emanate from? The heart. So in that's why the Bible says, keep thy heart. Keep in the Old English means guard. So guard your heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. So how do you guard your heart? You guard your heart by guarding what gets in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the guard. So you have to guard the gateways of the heart. What are the gateways?
Yeah, your eyes, your ears, your mind in general, I think.
All the things that feed your eyes and ears. So what are some practical ways then, Brian, by which we can guard our heart?
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, if you're thinking in terms of what you hear and what you see, you know, let's talk about the actual issue of the tongue for a minute that we just finished up. But, you know, one way that I can cease, where there's no wood, the fire goes out. So if I'm in a conversation, I can shut that down by a simple question. You know, I don't really think I should be a part of this conversation, or man, should we be talking to somebody else about this?
That's so good.
You do that once or twice, and nobody's going to talk to you about those kinds of things anymore.
That's right.
You pull the wood off the fire's going to go out, and that's just, sometimes we're just not that brave, and it seems like awkward to do things like that, but those are really solution-based things when it comes to at least speaking and strife.
Yeah, if you're the kind of person that knows, you're always in the know, that's not a compliment.
Right.
That really means that people feel free to offload information to you and you have a loading door that's wide open. And you're willing to take that in. That's really unwise, because now that all of that information has been offloaded into your heart, it's going to come out.
Right.
It's going to create that inner festering, that confusion, the striving, the envying, all the things that an unguarded heart will invite. And then eventually your words will simply be the indicators of
that. There's probably a social media application here too. I just thought of that. I mean, I saw somebody put one time, that very person that is always causing you to question things about your faith, or is upsetting you, or is speaking evil, just go ahead and delete that person. You know, maybe we spend too much time on a feeding frenzy of this kind of language and this kind of talk. I mean, honestly, I find very little edification on certain social media streams, and I should really try to be away from that. On one social media stream, it's primarily preachers and their encouragement, and I've really whittled that list down to really people who bring about health in my thinking and my life. And it's just a practical way for me to stay out of the fray.
It's interesting that you use the word health, because the New Testament language that describes words that are good is just that, sound words, healthy words. Speak thou those things which become sound doctrine, healthy doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 6, healthy words, wholesome words. So words have the power to make people healthy, and they have the power to make people sick.
Sure.
But we've been down that road. We're talking about the heart here in verse, chapter 3 and verse 17 is the kind of the flip side, the positive side of, hey, a heart that is full of striving and envying, the unguarded heart of confusion, is that that's where these words are going to come from. But then, in contradistinction to that, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above. So if I'm truly seeking God, if I'm setting my affection on things above, if I'm meditating upon the word of God, if I'm imbibing the wisdom that comes, the perspective that comes from the Lord, asking for it, remember James chapter 1 and verse 5, where the Bible says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. There's going to be truth, right?
Right.
Then peaceable. So there's not going to be this envy and this striving.
I'm kind of laughing at this. I don't mean to laugh, but I've heard preachers try to take this verse and, point out the first pure, then peaceable, as if we should, there's this almost this striving over things that are pure and holy, when really it's indirect. That's really not what he's talking about, because it's a direct, that would be directly opposite of what was just said.
Right.
In other words, I'll make war over, purity or holiness. And that would be a stark contrast. There's a calm and a peace to what's being said in verses 17 and 18.
Yeah. And the next, just think of exactly. Okay. Pure, peaceable, gentle.
Yeah.
I love this one. Easy to be entreated. A person that is full of God's spirit, knows who he is. There's a peace about his life, because he's, secure in his identity. He's secure in his belief structure. The servant of the Lord must not strive. He's not going to be argumentative and ad hominem, but he actually feels compassion for people that are steeped in error or that struggle with the truth. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. People that strive about words to no profit, or ask foolish and unlearned questions, which tend to produce or gender and gender strifes. They're their own worst enemy.
Yeah, I've seen that on, sometimes in social media. I know we talk about that a lot, but it's a real part of our life. But there's these little ministry groups, and somebody will throw out this question that's like throwing a dead piece of bait out on a piranha pond.
And that's right.
I mean, it's going to hit. And the only reason they did it was to show that 400 comment storm. And I just don't think that's a good thing to do. I mean, that cannot be wisdom from above.
That's we used to go to Lake Pymatuming in Pennsylvania, and they have this place where the carp come.
Oh yeah.
And you throw a piece of bread in there, and thousands of carp like jump over each other to get this bread, and it's just kind of a neat thing to see. But you know, you're not there to feed carp bread; you're there to see the carp kind of feed on each other, and that's what that does.
You know, I think the other thing about this wisdom from above, you know, it takes a relationship with God, and all these things take time for God to work in your heart. I mean, I was just reading through that list while you were reading, and I was just thinking, wow, God has been shaping me a ton as a pastor over the last few years, building more of this into my life. There's a growth process, and it shows you who is the one feeding your soul.
And so why does God give us these indicators of what a wise heart will look like? I think because he wants us primarily to use them as a self-evaluative tool.
Oh, absolutely.
To say, you know, am I at peace in my heart? Am I confident in what I know to be true? Am I gentle? Am I easily approached, or do I bristle? Am I competitive? Am I insecure? Am I reactionary? So easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit. How about this one? Without partiality. Doesn't that come back to chapter 2? Mm-hmm. Without hypocrisy. Doesn't that come back to the mid part of chapter 3? We talked about that fountain being salt, water, and fresh. Without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Mm-hmm. So to me, all of it is a matter of the heart issue, the root level, understanding that my works and my words are both merely reflective of my faith in God. Is it bona fide? Do I truly practice the presence of God in my life? Am I demonstrating the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ and the wisdom? Am I truly seeing things from his perspective?
Yeah, right.
I claim to know God. Right. Is it his love that's ruling my life? Is it his perspective that's guiding my words? Is it my habit to guard my heart? I'm careful about who I listen to, what I listen to, what I watch, because I want to be careful always to feed my heart with that which is going to help me to act like, behave like, ultimately, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
So that's really the end of chapter 3, and we're going to give you a minute or two back today because we've stolen
a couple minutes.
Yeah. So sure. View this as an olive branch to you listeners. We're going to give you a minute or two back. Hey, God bless you, my friends. I really appreciate you tuning in, and we'll look forward to tomorrow's conversation.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.